Jesus, I just come before you, Lord, knowing that I'm not even worthy to look upon your face. I'm not even worthy to touch any clothes that you have on you. I'm not worthy. Lord, I understand that the only thing that makes me acceptable is you. That there's nothing redeemable about me. And I just approach you, and Lord, I pray that all who listen would begin to approach you that way, knowing that we really are blessed because of you, not because of ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do its work in this message, and that I would just fade away, and that you would be convicting whoever is listening and cause them to not feel horrible, but for them to go run to you. And I can't do that. I can't create that. But Lord Jesus, you administer that according to your will. So Lord, I pray that you do that in this message. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen, Jesus. How you doing, friends? Welcome to Knowing Jesus. This is Michael Ryan, and you can find me in two places. Knowing Jesus is an audio ministry you can find on letsworshipjesus.com. If you go to that website, you'll see a lot of cool things about Jesus and anger and addictions and good topics like that. And also hear the podcast. And also you can go to iTunes Search Query and find me there if you type in Michael Ryan's Booze. You know, friends, I just, you know, I really want to encourage you as believers. And I've said it before, it's in Isaiah chapter 30, and I'll say it again, that in repentance and rest, you will be saved. Our walk really is about a life of repentance to the Lord and resting in what he's already done for us. And that's how we stay in the yoke with Jesus. We repent. We consistently seek him and turn away from the things that we by nature and by default in our hearts seek, and we turn to him. And that's as far as I'm concerned, that's repentance. Repentance is the turning away from something else and turning to the Lord. And that's what we need to be doing, seeking the Lord and not seeking other things, and then resting in it. Once you seek him, once you find him, you rest in him, and then you go and continue to seek for him. That's how I see this walk. We're not perfect, we're not good, we're not better than anyone because we call upon the name of Jesus Christ. We are sinners, and we're seeking a Savior, and he's good to us, and he changes us, and we preach an abundant life in Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you. There's a lot of talk about this politician who's sending photos on Twitter and so forth, and you know, I just don't want you to get caught into that mentality of us pointing fingers at people. And it's not to say that we shouldn't be wise and we shouldn't be discerning, but let's never forget how we got into this faith. David writes in the Psalms 130 verse 3, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" You know, if God decided to count people's sin towards them, no human being would be justified, including you. And it's important that we never forget that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you just better enjoy this life, because you're going to spend your eternity burning in hell forever. And that is the reality, and that's my reality, that's everyone's reality. It's because of what he did for us and what he is doing consistently for us right now as I'm speaking and you're listening to this message. That's why we're saved. It's because of him and him alone. It doesn't matter if you're having a good day, if you're a good person, if you do ministry, if you've kept yourself pure, none of those things matter. You are saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're resting in him, if you're repenting and resting in him, he's causing you to do all those good things. So he still gets good glory. So I just want to read to you Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, because I think it's good. You know, people have a lot of takes on it, and they're all good. As long as Jesus Christ is being presented to you and Jesus Christ is being preached, I don't mind how anyone can look at it. But when I look at Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, I just see the gospel. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As far as I'm concerned, and I could be wrong, I believe everybody has a speck in their eye. Every human being, we're always going to have a speck because we're imperfect, friends. We're always going to have a speck. But I believe that the minute you begin to judge somebody, you have a plank in your own eye. Now, this maybe Jesus didn't mean this. Maybe the Lord didn't mean it. I don't know. But this is how it ministers to me, is that as soon as we begin to judge someone, we have a big, fat, giant plank in our eye. Why? Because to judge somebody is just to be so blind. Judging someone and being critical of them is probably one of the most foolish things a person can do. An imperfect person being provoked and condemning someone who is also imperfect is probably one of the most foolish things a human being can do. I mean, the minute you begin getting judgmental, the minute you think that you ought to be able to say or do something to somebody for what they've done, you've got a big fat plank in your eye. It doesn't mean you can't be angry. It doesn't mean you can't be upset. It doesn't mean you can't be hurt. It doesn't mean those things. But the minute you begin to judge and condemn them, now you've got the plank. You've got the plank. And I believe that if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no justification for us to judge other people. There is none. Because as I said before in Psalm 130 verse 3, if the Lord was to mark iniquities, none of us would stand. Not one of us. Not you, not me, not anyone. Gandhi, everyone. None of us are good. Do you understand what I'm saying, friends? It doesn't matter what kind of life you lived, what kind of life you live now, or what kind of life you will change to live. If God was to mark one sin, all of us would be condemned. You know, we've got to give that grace back to other people. And let me tell you, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. But we've got to be given the gospel, the same gospel that Jesus has given to us, that our sins are forgiven, that our sins are paid for, that we have grace and mercy. The same thing that Jesus gives you, you've got to give to other people. And when you don't give it to other people, don't beat yourself up. Just go back to the model. Repent. And rest in Him. Go repent to the Lord. Go repent to the person you didn't do it to. And rest in the Lord. That's it. It's fine. It's okay. Because this is about grace. But don't think it's okay for you to feel justified to hold something against someone. Because if you're holding someone against something against someone, you know, you're really honestly a fool. Because it doesn't make sense. It's like the parable that Jesus told of the unjust servant who got forgiven 150 years worth of debt. And then he went and choked and threw a man into prison for owing him 100 days worth of payment. I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever when you look at it from the broad picture. It's foolish. For anybody, even if someone doesn't even know God as their personal Savior and they're not redeemed, for them to judge somebody, I mean, we can't judge anyone. We can't. And it's just important that we have that attitude and ask the Lord to give us a humility. Really to give us a humility to see that nobody owes us anything. You know, we really we've got to be remembering that Jesus Christ is our payment for our sin, and we've got to be able to forgive one another. And I know that that's hard, and I'm not trying to say to you I've got that all mastered and figured out, but what I will say to you is that Jesus Christ, His desire is that we love one another. You can't get around it. You can't get around it. He says, They will know that you are my disciple by how much you speak about me? No. By how much of the Bible you read? No. If you love one another. That's what it comes down to. We've got to love one another. And one of the biggest obstacles in that is judging other people, somehow thinking that we are more righteous and holy than someone else. I mean, the minute you judge someone else, the minute you say, I'm withholding from you, I'm going to not talk to you because you've done this horrible thing and you are so unforgivable, we're now saying that whatever we've done is not of the same scale. Well, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, it is what you're saying. Because if God can forgive you, why can't you forgive someone else? And this isn't just me saying. This is what Jesus said after he told that parable. He said, look, you need to forgive. Because if you're not forgiven, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Now, I'm not going to play around with that. I'm not going to play around with that sentence. Go look it up in the scriptures. He says, look, if you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive you. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, I don't want to play around with it. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He created the galaxies and the universe that's expanding right now. He made space. He can't fit in space in his natural form. And he's saying that. So you know what? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to go ahead and believe it. We need to be forgiving other people. I encourage you to believe every word that comes out of Christ's mouth. He says, if it wasn't true, I would not have told you. That's the kind of spirit our Messiah has. He told his disciples in John 14, I'm going away to make a home for you. If it wasn't true, I would have told you so. So we have a Messiah that's telling us the truth. And we've got to forgive. And the minute we become bitter, now we're carrying the plank. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to say this and now you feel condemned, but I want to encourage you. If you want to be like the Lord, if you want to take the weight off of you, be forgiving. Recognize your inadequacy to the Lord and be merciful to other people's inadequacies. Recognize that you're difficult and be merciful to other people being difficult. And that's not something that's automatic. That's something that the Lord will just be working on you. But it's good to just bring it to light that Jesus wants us to, he wants the gospel to be replicated. I believe that. He says, go and share. Go spread the word throughout the nations. And I believe that Jesus Christ must be preached, and he must be preached under the context of love. We have to live that. And it's not easy. I'm not saying this to you like in a judgmental way. I'm saying if it's difficult to do what I'm saying, and it should be, we just need more of Jesus to help us do that. But that's the end goal. You know, it's not to listen to this and say, man, I got to start go loving more people. It should be, hey, I need to start getting more into Jesus Christ because he says, learn of me. He says, learn of me. I am meek. I am lowly. I am humble. If you want this humility, then I would say simply, just go learn of Jesus Christ. If you really want this humility that I'm talking about, just go and worship the Lord Jesus. Get to know him as your good shepherd. Hear his voice. Let him convict you. When he's telling you to repent, go ahead and repent. You know, bring every situation before the throne of Jesus Christ. And he'll guide you. He's the one. His Holy Spirit is going to say to you, hey, you got to forgive. I forgave you. Hey, stop judging. Don't condemn. Hey, be patient. And then you can say, Lord, please give me patience. Just like the man said when Jesus was speaking to him, he said, please, Lord, help my unbelief. And that's the kind of thing we need to be asking our Lord Jesus. He's real. He lives right next to us. And so I would encourage you, friends, beware of being judgmental, because really, that's just another form of hypocrisy. And it's in our nature to be hypocrites. We're all at heart hypocrites. So that's why I'm saying, beware of hypocrisy. And the way you beware of hypocrisy is just making sure that you're synced. You're synced with the Messiah. That right now you're aware of his presence. You're aware that he loves you. You're aware that he lives in you and that you live in him. You're aware that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You're aware that every nasty deed you've been released from. Sometimes it's good to think about the fact that you were released. When God led the people out of Egypt, they would complain against him sometimes, and they would become unbelieving, and God would say, listen, do you remember what I did to you in Egypt? He would encourage them to go remember how he took them out of Egypt, how he took them out of slavery. And I would encourage you to do the same. Remember what the Lord delivered you from. Remember the sins that God forgave you of. Remember the ways that he is merciful with you. And if you can't think of any ways that the Lord has been merciful of you, well, then that's a problem in of itself. It's important that we understand that he's merciful to us. He's merciful. He's merciful. And the best way to be able to give mercy to other people is to meditate in how he's given us mercy. If that unrighteous servant would have stopped for a second and thought, you know what? I just got saved 150 years of payments that I owed, of debt that I owed to a man. Maybe I can let this guy off the hook. Maybe. But he didn't even consider. I guarantee it did not cross his mind that he was just forgiven. I guarantee. And I would encourage you to really carry on the gospel of Jesus in your heart. Remember who he is to you. Remember that he's your savior. And that he's still your savior. He wasn't just your savior when you got redeemed and became born again. He's your savior right now. He's keeping you. He's keeping you in the faith. It's him. He's doing it. Not you. He is doing it. He's sustaining you. Do you deserve to be sustained right now? No. You didn't deserve to be born again, and you don't deserve to be kept right now, but he's doing it for you anyway. So don't judge, because the minute you judge, you get a big plank in your eye, and you'll never be able to help anybody. If you want to be able to help get rid of someone's speck, acknowledge your speck. If you really want to help be able to fix someone, realize that you need to be fixed continually. And that's something that the Lord's ministering to me in my life. And I hope that through this message, he can share his love with you and say, look, remember what I've done with you. Remember how I've loved you. Remember how I've cared for you like a shepherd. I've held you in my arms in your most wicked and disconnected moments, in your most secret and dark places. I've loved you and carried you. Now go give that to other people. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, I just give you the worship. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And you deserve all the praise. Whether I'm in the mood to or not, you deserve all the praise. You created the universe, the cosmos. You created the things that are inconceivably huge and things that are inconceivably tiny. You've created them. And Lord, I respect you so much. I'm in awe of you and I worship you. And I pray that anyone listening would be encouraged to meditate on your greatness, particularly your love. Teach us how to love like you. Manifest your presence in us, Jesus, so that we would love others the way you love us. In your blessed name we pray. Amen.